Hey, John, I'm sorry. All right. Is this a special section over here? Not really a part of the college, just, okay. Wow, that was good. Is that one of the tour groups for Anthony? Wow. You know, I'll just say this in honesty. I'm in the right way. I'm proud to have groups like that represent our college. Number one, they sing well. But just the Christian spirit, just that is very powerful. When I first came to this church about 40 years ago, I know, it's hard to believe it. I was a student sitting there about 40 years ago. I parked my chariot right out there in the lot where you park your car. But when I first came to First Baptist, the thing that impressed me more than anything, the thing that just stood out to me were the young people singing. Power of a testimony, the power of a Christian people singing. Obviously not more important than preaching, not as effective as the preaching, but it made an impression on me. So because of that, I'm going to sing today instead of preach. All right. In my advanced educational method class, one of the girls was teaching Justin Stallnaker. Is Justin in here? Where's Justin? Balcony? Just as far back as you can get. Okay, that makes sense. But Justin was teaching a subject on English, and she talked about alliteration and how that she really likes alliteration. If you don't know what alliteration is, it's when in a sentence, several words, consecutive words start with the same letter, like pale, purple, paper. I'll say that three times real fast. But the same letter. And she mentioned how that she likes that because a lot of times preachers use it. Our pastor uses it a lot, and it helps her remember messages. So I thought I would try that today and see how it works. And in fact, Justin, when I'm done with this, I'm going to have you just repeat it back to me and just prove your point of how it really helps you. So I'm going to alliterate the story, not illiterate, Anthony, but alliterate. But let me know the story of the prodigal son. Okay, so I'm going to tell it in such a way using alliteration that hopefully will help you remember the story better, and then when we're done, Justin's going to repeat it back to me. Feeling footloose and fancy-free, a feather-brained fellow faced his fond father, a formidable figure, to find a fast way to get his father to fork over the family finances. Are we good so far? He then fled afar the farm to foreign fields and fretted his fortune, feasting fabulously and following fun and foolishness with his faithless friend. Finally, forlorn and for sure forsaken by fake friends, since folly had finished his finances, he found a foreign fellow who forced him to be a feet-flinger of filthy swine in a farmyard. But finally he saith, "Fooey. My father's flunkies are fed far more food than I find, and fare far fancier." So forsaking fake friends and folly, he forsooth fled that farm for to find his fond, faithful father. And he said, "Father, I have flunked. I have foolishly flung away my fortune and forfeited the family's favor." However, that fine, fair father fell on his fuzzy neck and with an affectionate kiss on his face, said, "Fit his filthy feet with the finest and find the best ring for his finger and fast. Fetch the fatted fatling from feeding and we shall all feed and frolic frivolously to fill full. For that fine, fair son, though he followed the folly of flesh and did fail, did forsake to come forward and is now free from his fetters, found and forgiven." Go ahead, Justin. Somebody take a mic up there. Anyway, so I just made that up. All right. All right, I'm going to test your Bible knowledge here a little bit. All right. Okay, there's a commandment that's in the New Testament. It's also in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it mentions this particular description. It says, "For this is the first commandment with promise." What is that? Honor thy father and thy mother. Okay? And I'll just read it for you in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." All right, so what is the promise that goes with that commandment? That you'll live a long life. Okay? And then I'll read it, actually, how it's written in Exodus. Oh, let's look at it. No, don't look at it. Yeah, look at it. No, don't look at it. Okay, don't look at it. I'll just read it to you. We're going to look at another one in a minute here. I think the mics are messing up. That static is. It says in Exodus 20:12, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And just the importance of honoring your parents. But we're not going to talk about that today. All right, how many of you, you really wonder what's going on now, don't you? It's Tim Harrell, that's what's going on. How many of you ever been to the grocery store that has like a deli in the back where you go up and order meat and things? All right. Every once in a while, my wife will want to make something, and she'll send me, and I'm a nice little house husband, and I run, well, actually I drive, to the grocery store, and a lot of times she wants ham, and she wants it shaved. You say, "Why do you want it shaved?" I don't like all those little hairs all over there. No, actually, not shaved, if you don't know that, it just means it's really thinly sliced, okay? And I don't like hairs on it too, by the way, but that's what shaved means. And so I'll go there, I'll say, "I want a pound and a half of shaved ham." And so they'll start working on it, and then they set it on this little scale. And it's a little digital scale, and then all of a sudden, you know, it'll look maybe to be like just a little less than a pound, so they'll shave a little more, put it on there, equal a pound, wrap it up, give it to them. All right, now, that little thing they use for measurement has to go through approval by the state government. There's a branch of the local government, branch of the federal government, called the Bureau of Weights and Measures. They do the same thing at the gas. You ever been to a gas pump and you're just sitting, nothing else to do, to read all those stickers all over the gas pump? There's a little thing that says approved by Weights and Measures. It's got a date and everything in it. All right. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a similar thing, but things were way different in the Old Testament. Okay? Maybe in science class, I don't know if you did this in high school, maybe some of you have science now. You know how the scales work? You put a predetermined weight on one side and, you know, let's just say a pound. That's usually not one of the weights, but let's just say a pound. And then you put whatever you're wanting to weigh on the other side, and then when it evens out and the little dials there in the middle, you know you have whatever that weight is. Well, back in the Bible days, people would try to cheat people. All right, imagine that. And so what some unscrupulous people would do, they would get a weight, and again, they didn't use pounds back in the Bible days, but let's just say pound for sake of illustration. And so they would have a weight that said a pound, but actually it was only a half a pound. Okay, so they'd, somebody buys some vegetables or something, and so they put that little weight that was a half a pound, but it said a pound, and they made the vegetables equal out, so the person thought they were walking away with a pound of vegetables, but what were they actually walking away with? A half a pound, okay, so they got cheated. And so, now, turn to Deuteronomy. You can actually turn here. I'm serious, turn. Somebody just sat there looking at me like I'm still faking. Deuteronomy chapter 25, we'll start with verse 13. Now, I'm going to show you how important this is to the Lord. Again, we're talking about, wait a minute, we're talking about vegetables. We're talking about potatoes. We're talking about just food. I mean, simple things. But notice what God says here in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Look at verse 13. It says, "Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small." In other words, one that's right and one that's not right. Verse 15, "But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have." Okay? So God says, it's important. I want you to have, I don't want you to cheat anybody. Okay? Let's read on here. "That thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Wait a minute. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Where did I hear that before? I think it was in Exodus chapter 20 when it talked about honor thy father and thy mother, didn't it? So what is God saying here? God is saying that honesty is so important to God that he gives it the same reward of honoring your mom and dad. Pretty serious, isn't it? Now, I don't think this promise is as much of an incentive as it is to show how important it is to God. I mean, I've taught teenagers for years. I taught high school for 27 years at Hammond Baptist, a few years at City Baptist. And I've never heard a teenager say, "Man, I can't stand my mom and dad, but I want to live a long time, so I'm going to obey them and honor them." Okay? Now, it is a reward, and God means it, and it's true, but I think what God is saying here is, this is so important to me. Honoring your parents is so important to me that I'm going to give you a longer life if you'll do that. And God is also saying here in Deuteronomy chapter 25, honesty is so important to me, even in the smallest of matters, I'm going to increase your lifespan you're honest. Now, I've gone all over the place with my illustrations and so forth, but I'm not done yet. The title of my sermon comes from another place. It has nothing to do with this. But I want to ask you, in the book of Job, Job's wife made there's only one statement that she made to her husband. At the end of the statement, she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But does anybody remember the question she asked before she made that statement? "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" And she said, "Curse God and die." Now, obviously, Job's answer to that was, "Yes, I still have and I still will." But the title of my message today is, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak through me and help me to say what needs to be said. Lord, I pray you'll prick our hearts, mine too. And Lord, as we consider this matter of do we still retain our integrity? Amen. You know, the truth versus a lie. What's the big deal? Well, in John chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 8:44, Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So, when you're the most like God, you are honest. When you're the most like Satan, when you are dishonest. The problem is, we live in a society today that's pretty much dishonest. People lie all the time. It's just a common thing. Politicians lie. How do you know? Whenever they open their mouth, that's it. But the news media lies. It's just a common thing. I was at church recently. I go every once in a while. But I was at church recently, and I overheard some teenagers talking. And one of them was, a girl was talking about how that she was excited about getting a new pair of shoes. Her brother works at a shoe store, and he's just going to switch the tags on the shoes so she can get the pair that she wants for a cheaper price. And she was all excited about it and thought nothing of that. Because that's the way our society lives. It's like, yeah, big deal. So, hey, you know, whatever you can get away with, whatever you can do, that's fine. But God wants us to live honestly. And I'm not going to take time to have us all look these verses up. I'm going to read a few verses for you that the Bible talks about honesty. Ephesians 4:25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Romans 12:17, "Recompense no man to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." 2 Corinthians 8:21, "Providing honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." Hebrews 13:18, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly." God wants us to be honest. Very plain throughout the scriptures, Old and New Testament. Not only that, but God will judge us if we are dishonest. Proverbs 6, let's look at this. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. This is God's hate list. Somebody looking there to see if your name's on there. Proverbs 6. Look at verse number 16. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, a what? Lying tongue." Wow. Second thing on the list. A lying tongue. God hates it. You know, we lie and we say, it's just a white lie. It's not that big deal. You know, it didn't hurt anybody. It doesn't matter. It's on God's hate list. But let's keep reading. "A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies." What? It's on there twice. Lying is on there twice on God's hate list. Proverbs 19:5, "A false witness shall not be unpunished." Now, I know we're going to have to break this down here. Bible language here, it says, "shall not be unpunished." What does that mean? Shall be punished. Okay, okay. I didn't know if y'all could figure that out. Not be unpunished. Okay. Double negative there. Positive. All right. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Same chapter, verse 9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. You know, I taught school, high school, for many years, and one of the things that used to bother me the most when I was teaching, when I give a test and I see somebody cheating, you can always tell when somebody's trying to cheat, because they're sitting here and they want to know where you are. The reason they want to know where you are, so they want to know if you're looking. So they find out if you're, you know, when I see somebody doing, looking back at me, I know they're getting ready to cheat, because they're going to look and see if I'm not there. And if I'm not looking, then the next move is over here. Right? And so what I would do sometimes, I'd walk around the back of the room where they couldn't see me. And I'd be walking around. And especially if there's somebody I suspected, if I saw somebody over here and he was looking back here, I kind of walk over there and I kind of stand back in the row behind him, and then he go. You know, he start doing this, like, where'd he go? And he turns out and sees me. I remember one time I was going into another teacher's class and to ask the teacher something, and the students were taking a test, and I just walking up just as a joke, and the kid was sitting there working on his paper, and I just said, grabbed his hand and said, make sure you don't have a cheat sheet, and lifted his hand up. There's a big cheat sheet right there. Be sure your sin will find you out. Proverbs 19:22, the Bible says, a poor man is better than a liar. You ever driven up through Hammond? Lots of homeless people that walk around there. There's one particular guy, he has a big shopping cart. Actually, he's expanding. He's got two shopping carts now. And so he's really doing well. And he just lives on the street. And they're rounded over. I mean, he's rolling in it. I mean, he's just great. And he wears a real heavy coat even during the summer. And anyway, you have to roll your window up when you drive by. It's that bad. I mean, it's. But, you know, I look at that and I feel sorry for him. And I've tried to talk to him before, but his mind is gone. But, you know, you drive by and you look at that and you say, that's sad. What a shame. That's awful. Why would somebody live that way? But God says, a poor man is better than a liar. If I knew the heart of everybody in here, and I don't, you don't know mine, there'd be some people in here that are worse than a poor man. In fact, some of you, you're double whammy because you're poor and you're a liar. loser. Now, there's two basic reasons we lie. One is to get something we want. The other is to avoid something we don't want. You know, somebody says, okay, I'm going to give dollar to whoever did this. Oh, I did that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah. And working with discipline in the school over the years, I would have to bring somebody in and sit them down in my office. I'd say, okay, I got a report that you did that. And I always ask them. I say, did you do it? I give them a chance to either lie or, and there's some, I don't even know what you're talking, Mr. Harrell. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I had one girl, junior high girl. She was a good liar, if there is such a thing. But she was good at it. And the reason she was good at it, because she'd done it for so long. And, you know, sometimes we think that's a badge of honor. We've lied so much, we know the perfect expression on our face. You know, we got it down. We've done it so much that we can fool anybody. We fooled our parents for years. We fooled our teachers. We fooled everybody. And she was an expert. And I had good evidence. And I figured she'd just say, you know, I said, you know, this, you know, I told her all the facts that were just like there. And I said, but I just want to know, did you do it? She goes, no. I thought, really? Okay, so maybe you didn't hear me. I've got this and this and all of this and this and this. And I didn't do it. I promise. I swear, I did not do it. I mean, Phillips had me convinced. I'm like, okay, you're right. You know, I mean, she was that good. I said, okay, all right. I let her go to class. Okay, I got to do some more digging here. And so I did some more digging and got a bunch more evidence. Big file folders. FBI was in there. It was great. And Columbo, Inspector Clouseau, I had all the help. And so I said, okay. And I said, I got this. So just tell me. Did you do it? No, I didn't do it. I promise you I didn't do it. I swear I didn't do it. I wouldn't lie to you. So I thought, okay, that's it. I mean, we're not playing this game anymore. I said, okay, all right. I don't care what you say. I know you did it, so you're getting 25 demerits. I said, my question is, why did you do that? She started crying. But she was a good liar. Why did she lie? Because she didn't want to get in trouble. She actually had more trouble. You know, sometimes I'd have a student come in, and I'd say, look, I have a report that you did this. Did you do it? Yes, sir, I did. Well, that is so refreshing to have an honest liar or whatever, cheater, whatever. But, you know, when people just fess up and accept their consequences, that's very refreshing. So we're afraid something's going to happen. Well, if I don't cheat on this test, I'll fail my class. Well, if I don't lie, I won't get that job. If I tell the truth, I'm going to be terribly embarrassed in front of. You know, there are consequences to being honest. Sometimes when you tell the truth, you have to pay for it. Sometimes when you tell the truth, you get very embarrassed. Sometimes when you tell the truth, you lose something. There are consequences for being honest. But let me just say this. The consequences of honesty are nothing compared to the consequences of dishonesty. Let me say it again. The consequences of honesty are nothing compared to the consequences of dishonesty. Now, we ought to be honest in everything. There's no little areas that, well, that's okay. You know, and I'm not going to make a deal out of this, but I don't even like when people cheat at games. To me, it takes the fun away from it. Now, I'm not going to say, you heathen, I hate you, and throw the game across. I'm not going to do that. I'll just kick them under the table, but I won't do anything that everybody can see. Who did that? Not me. Oh, wait, that's a lie. Yeah, it was me. Man, I'm running my own habits. But I've listed four areas that I think you ought to especially be honest. And again, everything you ought to be honest. But these four areas, it's crucial. It's crucial. There's no room for error. These four things. Number one, your job. If you work an eight-hour shift, and I realize there are four-hour shifts and other shifts, but if you work an eight-hour shift, you ought to be working for 8 hours. I worked for a guy one summer when I was teaching. I worked during the summer at a place in Crown Point. And, I knew God was watching me. That's the bottom line. You got to get that in your head. God's watching you. We do too much of this. Don't do that. Look up, thy God seeth thee. God's watching you. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Do you not believe that? Do you not realize that? God's watching you. But so I was always aware of that, and it didn't matter if the boss was there or not. I worked. And if I ran out of the work that he told me to do, I grabbed a broom and start sweeping. Why? Because God's watching. I worked at another grocery warehouse over in one of the suburbs of Chicago. And I was a security guard then. I have a bullet right here. And we didn't have a gun. We didn't have a bullet. We didn't have a club. It was just these. But I had to register these. They were deadly weapons. I couldn't even put my hands in my pocket. I'd rest for carrying a concealed weapon. Oh, man, I lied. Okay, that didn't really happen, okay, folks? Any other sermon, I wouldn't tell you that, but I have to on this one. But we had to check certain things in the warehouse, and if we didn't check it, nobody would know. You know, if you did what you're supposed to, it took you an hour to walk through the big grocery warehouse. It was huge. If you didn't, it'd be like 15 minutes. But I always took the whole hour. Why? Because God was watching. Don't be lazy at your work. You work for those 8 hours that you're getting paid for. Second area, your relationships, especially dating and marriage. Girls, if you're dating a guy and you know that he lies, don't date him anymore. I'm serious. You say, but we're serious. I'm serious. Don't be serious anymore with him. Go get serious with somebody else. A guy that will lie to you will cheat on you someday. And same thing for the ladies. Trust is the foundation of a good relationship. So don't ever lie. Don't ever lie to a spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend. Number three, the third area, your finances. You tithe? Well, normally I do, but when my school bills do, you know, God understands. No, he doesn't. You tithe. There's been times where I had to choose between my tithe and my electric bill. I tithe. But there's penalties. What if they cut your electricity off? I'd rather have my electricity cut off than God cut the blessings off. Don't ever lie when it comes to paying God his money. Pay your debts with your friends. Hey, man, can I borrow a dollar? Just a dollar. Hey, I'm serious. If I borrow a dollar, I write it down. And I put it where I remember it. And I don't know how many times I've paid somebody back a dollar, and they go, oh, I can tell you. You know, people don't expect it back. You know, it's just, but no, there's a dollar. Oh, yeah. Then the last thing, this is for now, your college life. Be honest in your college life. When I was in high school, I took math 4 years. It was the same class. No. I was a glutton for punishment. My fourth year, I took calculus. I don't even know what calculus is, but I took it anyway. I struggled in that class. I didn't know what half of what I was doing. I remember I worked on a homework paper, and I had about three answers I could figure out. And then, fortunately, I was next to the brain of the class. I said, hey, give me a paper. And I wrote down all his answers, turned it in, and I felt pretty good for about 10 seconds. I thought, why am I feeling guilty? Leave me alone. I got up, I went back to the teacher's desk, got my paper, went through, it was all in pencil, of course, started erasing everything that wasn't mine. You could still see what was there, but turned it back in. Later on, the teacher said, Tim, so I was looking at your paper here, why don't you erase all these answers? They were all right. And I said, well, they weren't mine. And I was the student of the year there. You know. I didn't get anything for that. I got a bad grade for that. But it was my grade. I remember when I was a college student, and the rules are all different now, but we lived in the dorms, and to come into the dorms after hours, you had to go through the front door, and I don't know if that's still true or not, but you had to report to the front door. Well, I came in late after one night, not partying all night, no. I came in late after hours, and I went to the side door here, and it was unlocked. So I went in, I thought, yeah, went to my room, started feeling bad about it. Next day I went to the office, whoever it was, and I said, hey, I'll just let you know, I sneaked in last night, so I'm just turning myself in. But honesty, dost thou still retain that integrity? You know, honesty and dishonesty, there are thinking processes. When you're in the moment of truth, literally, If I do this, this is going to happen. If I don't do this, this is going to happen. That's the moment of truth. What's going on in your head up there? What's going on in your heart? Is honesty important enough to you to say, I'm going to do the honest thing? Doesn't matter what the consequences are. Dost thou still retain that integrity? A year from now, if somebody asks you that question, dost thou still retain that integrity? What are you going to say? It really doesn't matter what you say, what's true. 20 years from now, 25 years from now, I pray that on my deathbed, if somebody asks me that question, and I pray that I can say, yes. What will you say? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us to realize the importance of honesty. Lord, all of us have told lies. All of us have been dishonest, but Lord, I pray that it won't be a way of life for us. God, if there's anyone here, Lord, that has not been honest, I pray that they will make it right. I pray that they will correct it. I pray that they will decide, Lord, that they don't want to live that way. Help us to all be honest, Lord, in everything that we do. Because, Lord, you represent honesty. Satan represents a lie. And, Lord, we want to please you because you've been so good to us, Lord. We love you.